It's me, Lauren Lapkus. I am doing a totally different project right now. This is going to be a totally different thing. I've always kind of had an interest in psychics, and I've always believed in them so much that I've been too afraid to go to one because I don't want to know my future. And I decided this would be a great opportunity to kind of explore this and push myself to go meet with some and see what they say and see if I end up still believing in this or what I leave with. Maybe I'll know everything that's going to happen to me and I can just coast through the rest of my life. And, you know, one of the reasons why I always wanted to do this was because my dad had a really crazy experience with a psychic, and I don't really remember all the details of it, but I always think about it, and I barely have ever really asked him about it. But it's always kind of haunted me that, you know, my dad, who's like this really like logical, smart person, could have this experience with a psychic and have it be real and believe in it. And that made me feel like it's even more possible that this stuff is true and made me want to explore that more. So we're going to go on a journey and meet a few different psychics and see what they say. And I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm really scared. And I'm worried they're going to find out something. I'm going to find out something horrible. They're going to say something horrible about me. Or I don't even know what to think. I don't know what to believe. But it's going to be fun. So in this episode, we're going to talk to my dad and hear what the story is. And I can get all those details from him. And let's call him up and see what he says. Hi, Dad.
Hey, Lauren.
Don't fake, man. Before you had that interaction with that psychic, had you ever had any sort of experience with a psychic before?
No, I never went to a psychic. I didn't, I just never did. I like maybe a lot of people do. I've had some like weird experiences, like, just sitting around reading a book or something, and all of a sudden you start thinking about someone who you haven't seen in years, and 5 minutes later the phone rings and it's them.
Yeah.
I've had that happen to me, a bunch of times.
That's crazy.
So I don't know if that means anything or not.
I think it does. So tell me about this. Tell me the story of what happened and what year was this when you had this whole experience?
Okay, so it was 1986, and
I was a ripe 1 year old.
exactly, yeah. You were born on Logan Boulevard in Chicago, and we were living in a three flat graystone at the time that I renovated. And your bedroom was like one of these small little bedrooms in one of these three bedroom apartments in the graystone. And so we sold that building and purchased a house, the house in Evanston. And I also at the same time purchased an 8-story building in Rogers Park. We moved into Evanston, and then I started renovating this building right about at the same time. There was a guy working with me at the time who I hired. I had worked with him on a number of buildings before that. His name was David. We're in these kind of tight quarters for, this is going on for months. One day he goes, I got to go back to my house and make a phone call. I go, okay, well, I'm thinking, well, there's a phone right here. We've got phones here. He goes, no, it's, I send $50 to a woman, to a housewife in Texas. And then at a prescribed, like a couple of weeks later after check clears, I go to the, I call her. And then I talk to her, and she tells me all these things, and I go, okay, well, go ahead, make your phone call.
What did you think of that when he said he was going to do that?
Well, you got to know a little bit about David. At that time, he was dating a girl who was maybe 6 inches taller than him, a blonde, and he was doing a full body cast, a plaster cast of her entire body.
Wonderful.
And made, a mold, basically, and made a sculpture of her life size and put it in his apartment.
I want one.
And had it in his apartment. And then, and then he was working on some vintage British car. He was grinding it all down to the steel, and restoring that. And then he was, he was into all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, it was like he was just one of these other things that he was doing. You know yeah. what I mean? It wasn't like, okay, it's kind of like, hey, it's David. You know, he's doing this thing, you know?
Yeah, that's like the least of it at that point.
Yeah, that was the least of it. I mean, it was like there was a lot of stuff going on. So David leaves, you know, and like, you know, look, a week goes by before we even broach the subject of what that was all about. Because we're in the middle of construction, you know, it's a big project. We've got a contractor, you know, there's all this stuff going on. But it's like a week later and it's like a Friday afternoon. And I go, you know, he we're sitting there like there's a lull in the action. And he goes, hey, I think I asked him, you know, so what's this thing about the psychic or, you know, this housewife in Texas? And he goes, yeah, there's this housewife in Texas. Her name is Terry. And she tells me things that no one else could possibly know. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, you know, just the conversation I had last week was she was telling me experiences that I had with my father when I was 3-4 years old.
Wow.
I had that experience with my dad. There was nobody else there. Nobody else knew about it. And she's telling me about it, describing it in detail. So he was a firm believer in what she was saying. Mm-hmm. He was like, sort of like when you talk to him about it, his eyes were a little glazed over, actually, you know? You know what I mean?
Wow.
He was that into it. So, you know, another few weeks goes by and, you know, it's like, hey, it's a Friday afternoon. I got to leave. I got to go make the phone call. I go, great. You know, see you on Monday. So he comes back and a couple of days goes by and he, you know, we're sitting there in the office and he goes, oh yeah, by the way, Terry, I told Terry about you, referring to me, mm-hmm. you know, I told Terry about you and, you know, if you got a question for her, she'd be, you know, she could, you know, like tell you, you know, I mean, if, and wow. at that time, so the first, you know, at that time, what was going on with you was that, back in Logan Boulevard in that little apartment with you had this tiny little bedroom. And at one point, a few months, you know, this was like 3 months before that, cause you were only about you were a year old at the time, year and a half old. But when you were about 3 months old, you almost died of crib death.
Yeah.
You were, as your mom described it, she walked into the room and you were flat. I think she told you this.
Yeah.
She might have told you this story.
Okay, you can tell a little bit about it if you want, but.
Right. So she, you know, she was just freaked out and kind of pushed you and, you know, and like started shaking you, I think is what she said. And you started breathing again. And then, you know, a few months later, 6 months later, maybe, you know, we take you to a pediatrician, you know, as all good parents do. And you were, diagnosed having a hole in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So when David asked me that, he goes, what do you want to know? You know, she'll tell you. I went, well, what about Lauren? Lauren has a hole in her heart. How's that going to work out? Because we, you know, nothing had cleared up at that point. You had just been sort of diagnosed with that maybe a month before. So it was a serious concern.
Yeah.
So I asked David to ask Terry about you. So he, you know, he leaves and comes back on a Monday morning and goes, I'm like into this now because.
Yeah.
You're worrying me, you know? So I go, so David, did you talk to Terry? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, what about Lauren? Is she going to be okay? And he goes, yeah, Lauren's going to be fine. It's Julian. And I go, what do you mean? It's Julian.
And that's my brother.
He goes, and all I did was I pointed to my heart and I said, is it going to be his heart? And he said, no, not his heart. And then I kind of like pushed my fingers over to my center of my chest, to my, like the solar plexus area, the center of the chest. And he goes, no, lower. So I put my finger down, you know, a little lower, like in the stomach, like, and he goes, no, just a little bit lower than that. And I put it right down at kind of the bottom of the stomach where, you know, the intestines are. And he goes, yeah, right there. So, you know, Julian was what, 4 years old at the time or something? Mm-hmm. Yeah, 4 years. Okay. So he was diagnosed with Crohn's disease 8 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Crohn's disease in the intestine. It's an inflammation of the intestines, of the colon.
Yeah.
So he had me pointing directly at that area 8 years before he was diagnosed. There was no indication whatsoever that Julian had any problem when he was 4 years old.
That's insane.
But that's not all of it. Because he said, and I'm not really thinking much of it. I go, okay, I'm pointing to different parts of my body and it's about Julian and, it's going to be him later. And it's, I guess it's a little spooky, but I'm like, this is David, this is this guy who, does all this crazy shit anyway, It's like a couple of weeks later and he goes, by the way, I talked to Terry and, again, about you. And I go, I asked you about, and he goes, well, and I go, so I'm sitting down now, and he goes, well, she just talked a lot about you and about what you're going to do. And I go, okay. All right. Well, lay it on me, So he goes, well, you're going to be working on, I said, so, what are we going to do in the real estate thing? Well, we're going to renovate more buildings. He goes, no, what you're going to be working on these long, low, very, very large white buildings. And I said, what, like tall buildings? He goes, no, like 1 and 2 story buildings, like really big ones, like long and low and white. I go, okay, whatever. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
So you're telling me this thing. Okay. And then he goes, and you're going to design a city. And now I'm going like, come on.
Yeah, like
just,
what?
And I'm just thinking, yeah, okay, whatever. I take another swig of my beer, and then he said, and you are going to travel around the world in a very unusual way.
Wow.
Okay, so I'm going like, okay, I'm going to travel around the world in a very unusual way. So, I'd been to Europe a couple of times at that point, and I'm going like around the world in a very unusual way. I mean, what could that, whatever, So all of it, so that was it. So, he's, we did the project. We did it all. I found out later that, he wanted to be my partner in a financial partner, basically a lot of stuff. And I found out later that, I ran into him maybe a year later or something like that. And he had asked Terry about our relationship between me and David. And she told him that it was going to be nothing, that nothing would happen. And that's what happened. And I didn't run into him at all. And I really lost track of him completely. And just found out a year ago or so that he died about 3 or 4 years ago. That's 1986 and, 7 or 8 years later, Julian is diagnosed with Crohn's disease. So pointing to the intestine, the real estate market, kind of dropped off the end of a cliff in 1990. There was this huge spike in interest rates and it was really tough to do anything. And I couldn't get any projects going for myself. So I had to actually go out and find a job. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for a job for months. And finally I go for an interview at this large, Japanese conglomerate. They were running a plant in the western suburbs, and I went there and the American manager hired me and we started working. They spent $100 million on this huge group of, three buildings is what we built, and they were long, low, and white. In the 80s, I was doing a lot of long distance running, and I had, running partners back in the Logan Boulevard area. But then when I moved to Evanston, I really didn't, hook up with anybody to continue running, even though, you know, ran some marathons and all that kind of stuff. But I started playing, you know, basketball, picked that up. I hadn't played in, you know, 15 or 20 years since college. And, I went to that playground over on Grant Street. There's a really nice court, full court, you know, hoops and everything. I mean, they've got everything. It's all set up. It's really a nice.
This is an advertisement.
Basketball
for
outside.
The court.
And I found out there was a really good pickup game on Sunday morning. So I started playing Sunday mornings religiously, going to the same spot, same playground and playing basketball. And one of the guys was, started getting into biking, and he was from Iowa, and when he was 15 or something, he rode all the way to the Canadian border from Iowa. He was kind of an adventurous sort. And he started talking about taking a trip around the world on a bicycle. Actually, I wasn't even into bicycling at the time. I just started picking it up then. And so I knew I couldn't handle riding with these guys because they were just hammering all the time. They were in incredible shape. So I kept riding. I started riding and getting into biking and just kept riding, you know, all the time, you know, me. So I was doing a lot of riding, and about 4 years, 5 years later, one of the other guys, who had ridden with the two, a lot, actually, planned a invited me on a trip. He said, we got to do this. And so he and another buddy of his from Portland, Oregon, the three of us flew to Thailand, and we rode from Bangkok north through the center of Thailand up into Laos and then up into central Laos to a city called Luang Prabang. It's about 800 miles of riding. And then the following year, I rode with him across Kenya and Tanzania. And then I did a solo trip down the coast of Brazil. And then I did that other trip down the, in Australia along the coast there, south of Sydney to Melbourne. So she said something about, riding around the world in a very unusual way.
Yeah,
so,
that's crazy. And you were not even into biking.
I wasn't into
years
biking
later.
At all. And I the only place that, like I said, I'd been to, you know, to some of the tourist locations in Europe at that point. I hadn't even been to any other country. So, you know, so I don't know. You know, you take it from there. I don't know. Is it a coincidence?
I don't know. It's interesting because this story has always stuck out to me because I feel like you're not somebody who would just believe in something that's so illogical in a sense. But I mean, and you didn't really sign up for it. It just happened to you. It's kind of cool. But I've always avoided going to psychics and trying to do something like this myself because I get scared of what they might tell me. Because even some of the stuff you learned wasn't necessarily great, like learning about Julian, that wasn't like good news or something. But
yeah, and I've been asked, I think I just mentioned this again that we're going to have this conversation. I mentioned to Julian, and he said, "Did you ever ask her? Did you ever like call her up yourself or see her and like get into this even more, directly?"
Yeah.
And you know what? I didn't. I just didn't want to know, I guess.
That's kind of how I feel, and that's kind of how I've always felt about this stuff. But it's so intriguing to me, and I don't know. I think it's kind of fun too, but. Yeah, I also think it was really generous of David to spend his $50 talking about you.
Well, he was, he was an interesting guy. There was no question about that. I think part of it was that he was, you know, wanted to be partners with me on this kind of stuff, and then he found out that the psychic tells him the story he doesn't want to hear.
Right. I think that's interesting too. Like wondering if you hear something like that, so you don't pursue it. Like maybe if he had never heard that your relationship wouldn't go any further, he would have still pursued like the business with you. But because he knew that it wasn't going to, or was told that it wasn't going to, he probably might have backed off. You know what I mean? Like, I wonder how much you're influenced by that kind of information. Like, if I were to hear something at one of these things, they tell me, oh, you're going to do this thing. And I'm like, I'll never do that. But then I think, well, they said I was going to do it. You know, when the opportunity arises, I will keep going because they said I would.
We were kind of in the middle of a war trying to do, you know, trying to evict tenants, trying to arrange financing, trying to get construction going, trying to do all this kind of stuff. And the whole psychic thing was
it wasn't the
main focus of anything.
But. Yeah. Well, it turns out to be a big focus for me. So thanks.
Yeah. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. Super cool. So thanks for telling me that story.
You got it.
So this whole time I've had my dear friend Aaron Whitehead sitting here with me listening to that phone call. I'm bringing Aaron along for all my psychic adventures because I wanted to have somebody I could bounce my feelings off of and kind of dissect the situation with, who knows me well and who is interested in this stuff to begin with. Aaron.
I also believe in this stuff. I'm very jealous also that you're actually going to the big time ones. Like, you're going to ones where you have to pay a whole lot of money and get a whole, like, hour, 2 hour long session.
Yeah. And this for me makes me believe in it more. I don't know. I think like when anything costs a lot of money, it probably is really good.
Yes. I agree. And the ones I've gone to were like $5 at a carnival, but I still was like, I was invested enough that I was like, I want this to be true. Yeah. I don't have the fear. I kind of want to be like, if I die next week, I would like to know that. I will say I've never been to like a full-blown psychic, like I said, but I've gone to energy healers and I've gone to people who apparently like talked to spirit. And one woman actually made me really mad, and I decided I didn't believe her because the way she described the spirit that came to me, I was like, he would never do that.
Even though, was it anyone you knew?
Yes, it was my dad.
Oh, yeah, well, then goes, that could be really.
She goes, your dad is here, and I want you to know he's always with you. In fact, right now, he's jumping up and down. And I go, I know, and I go, that's not him.
I was like, jumping up and down.
And she goes, well, that's, and she tried to explain, and I've seen this, that woman, that psychic show you told me about that you like. What was that show?
Long Island Medium.
So she does a thing too where she's like jumping up and down is like a thing that they do on the other side to show you, like they have other symbols that they
right.
use. But I was like, I don't buy that they cross over and then they get a list of symbols. Like, here's your book. Now here's your language. Mm-hmm. I don't buy it.
Oh, he's jumping up and down. Like, well, to me, that means this. It's like, well, just leave out the part where he's jumping up and down because that sounds like bullshit.
You're sullying my memory of him.
You're like, my dad would never butt something down.
He would never do that. He was super fucking cool. But yeah, like that, I remember that rubbed me the wrong way. But at the same time, I had a healer who came to my house once from Ojai. And she was like, just start telling me things. And she was like, I might cut you off. And I got halfway through her sentence and she goes, oh my God, whoa. Okay, I just have to like release this energy. And she starts saying all these words and the air in the apartment changed and I was spinning. And it was like, I mean, my body didn't float
but
up and spin, but it felt like I was spinning. air was like
thick. Don't
you
wish I really thought that? Aaron, your body was spinning in
and
the
I'm
air.
Like, yeah, I just never told you, whatever, it was no big deal. But that was crazy. Like, to have,
you could feel something
she
happening.
She did something and the room changed.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I'm scared. All right, well, I'm really excited to do this with you. Thank you for coming with me.
I am so excited to go.
Yay.